We're thankful to be here tonight to bring the message from God's Word, and it's going to be quite brief. You know, preachers don't particularly like to preach any better than you like to listen to them, to be truthful with you. You may think we just love to get up here and wave our arms and everything, but we have to put some time in preparing the message. That is the reason I'm not going to speak very long. We have something we would like to present to you, and it will take a little bit of time, so we don't want to keep you here too long. Just to point out the why we feel like we need a building, this may be brought up later, but by the way, if you wonder why I'm stumbling and fumbling looking around here, the first page of my sermon happens to be missing, but I'll get along with that. We're well prepared and well organized. This morning, we had a gospel team from Morgan Bible College there, and we don't ordinarily have a size of a crowd, but you'd have been there and visited us. We have a room that we're using in a building, in the basement of an office building located there in Northridge Community, and it's about, wouldn't you say two-thirds the size of this room here? That'd be about maybe two-thirds. It's hard to tell. It's got a low roof. It's sort of deceiving. But this morning we had 145 people there in that room. Now, I just love to think that how you think that those people we reached out and got, and it is true. About 45 of them were, one family was from Troy and the rest of them from Rochester. But about 100 of those were people that of our own group that had come before, or maybe that today was the first time. Anyway, people that we have contacted. So even at that, even 100 people in a room that size, you can imagine what it was like. It was just bedlam, is what it amounts to. You have just seats between the classrooms, like St. Yolans, remember how they used to do it before they had bigger buildings. And so there is a real need, and we aren't averaging that in the eye, but that is a potential. I feel that when we get a building to accommodate more, we'll easily hit 100 within no time at all. We're averaging a little over 60, maybe 63 or something like that right now. I forgot to start looking for a page, and it is missing here. I majored in psychology in school. I don't want to talk about that, but one thing we were taught, and that is the one of the theories in what we call a total or complete personality, of someone who is supposed to be well adjusted, is that he is a self-sufficient, self-reliant individual. That is, he's an individual who does not need anyone else. He is not dependent. He is an independent individual. He is a very, in what we might call, a self-made individual. He's a self-reliant man. He's very, he's capable of getting along without you or without I. And so we're taught then that the supreme goal for us as individuals is to become self-reliant individuals who can solve our own problems and overcome all obstacles in our own ways. And that's fine to a certain degree, but I believe it violates two very fundamental principles that are taught in God's Word. And first of all, I think it violates one principle found in the third chapter of Proverbs. And if you have to search around for these a little bit, I'm quoting them from memory, since we don't have my notes here. But I believe it's Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 2 and 3, verse 5 and 6. One of my favorite verses, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So this is telling us that the Christian individual, the God-fearing individual, is one who depends not upon his own wisdom, not upon his own resources, not upon his own intellect, but who trusts wholly and fully upon God for direction and for leadership and for guidance in his life. So we are very dependent people. The sermon of my topic sermon tonight is the idea of the dependency we have upon one another and upon God. And also the idea of us being self-sufficient, self-reliant individuals sounds good, but I think it violates the second principle of Christianity, and that is found in Galatians, the sixth chapter, and two verses that to me have become very important. In Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken any fault, Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Then verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are not self-sufficient individuals. We are very dependent upon one another. And we are not an island. We cannot live as unto ourselves. And I am dependent upon your help, and you are dependent upon my help. You know, one of the verses that has often impressed me in the Bible is in the first chapter of Romans, verses 9 through 12. In Romans, the first chapter, verses 9 through 12, here we have Paul the Apostle. Paul the great evangelist. Paul the theologian, in a sense, who was taught by God himself in the desert for a long period of time. But Paul the disciplined man, Paul who did more to proclamate and to further the gospel probably than any other man who has lived. And so we see this great dynamic Christian individual writing a letter to the Roman Christians, people like you and I, people who had come out of sin to serve a living Christ. And we might say, what a privilege. If you and I, say, had the privilege of listening to a great theologian today, maybe Karl Barth, one of the greatest theologians today that perhaps we don't understand anyway, but they have a good reputation. But suppose we had one of them to come to us, to preach to us, to talk to us. He would be a listening spellbound. And so they were, perhaps with Paul, wanting to be helped and listening spellbound to him. Here he tells him in Romans, the first chapter, 9 through 12, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. And this is why he's praying, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. So Paul is wanting to come to the Roman brethren to help them, to give them some spiritual gift. But then notice verse 12. And this is what I like about the humility of Paul and the humanness of Paul. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. And so as Paul is saying here, I cannot live without you. I want to come to help you, but I want to be helped by you as well. I want to be strengthened. I want my faith to increase. I want to grow because of what you do and have done for me. So that we are very dependent upon God, and we are very dependent upon one another. And this is the whole principle of Christianity. A king asked the question many, many years ago, am I my brother's keeper? And all through the countless centuries after that, God has answered a very profound, a very resounding yes over and over again. We are indeed our brother's keeper. The whole idea of evangelism is the fact that we have a responsibility to other people. We cannot escape our responsibility to others. There's no way around it. Paul reminded the brethren over and over again, and particularly we think in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, we're talking about taking up a question for the saints. It doesn't mention it there, but we assume it's for the saints, and maybe saints in Jerusalem, because he mentions it through several of his letters, the needs of the saints at Jerusalem. But also, we also acknowledge the fact that we are not very self-reliant. We're not very self-sufficient. And again, our society glorifies this thought. Now, we hear and we read biographies about famous individuals, famous businessmen. Colonel Sanders was in the Reader's Digest some time back. And we admire this man. Here, this man was 60-some years old. By his own initiatives, by his own wisdom, his own ability, he founded this chicken empire. And he's a multi-millionaire. I think he became that at the age of 70 or up in years anyway. But we'll talk to admire people like that who, by their own initiatives, their own wisdom, their own strength, lift themselves up by their own bootstraps, so to speak, come out of any poverty or dire circumstances to make important contributions to our way of life. So this is in direct contrast to what God is teaching us in His Word. I think of an example here in Romans, the 7th chapter. We see Paul here talking about his struggle he has had in his Christian life, the struggle to overcome sin, the flesh, and the weaknesses therein. But he goes through all the seventh chapter, he goes over all these struggles and these tremendous odds he's had to overcome. And finally he ends in verse 24 and 25, "O wretched man that I am." This is in direct contrast to modern psychology. We're not supposed to be like that. We're not supposed to be self-debasing. We're supposed to be individuals who see ourselves in a high esteem. Anyway, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we see a man who has struggled with himself, has struggled with sin, has struggled with the world, and finally says, "My out is through Jesus Christ my Lord." So he says, this is the out. Again, we see other examples. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 13, "I can do all things." And isn't that wonderful with the modern psychologist to say, "Paul, you're a remarkable man." But Paul doesn't end there. He says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And so there is why Paul is a remarkable individual, because he can do all things through Christ, which strengthens him. So we have a very deep and profound obligation to one another, and that's why we're here tonight. You know, I think that the church business, if you want to put it that way, as we know it today, is going to have to change drastically. Because of inflation, because of a lot of circumstances and situations we're faced with today, it's just not going to be the same. Now, we're putting up a building. Now, when we start throwing figures around, some of you might think that they're going to build another Mormon tabernacle over there at the North Hills lot. Go out and look at that building. It's about the same size, I would say, the upper part about as this, and the only difference it would have a little L off the other side, an L shaped type of building, but the main sanctuary is about this size. It's not elaborate, it is not fancy. We're not going to have finished walls, they're going to be cement block walls. The basement is not going to be finished, it's not going to be painted, there's no pews in it. There's no pulpit. There's nothing. This is a building we're going to have put up, just a bare building, not finished on the outside at all. I mean, finished no landscaping, nothing. It's just going to be a building sit there with nothing inside. And we figure that this part is going to cost about $130,000. And a finished building, that's the furniture and the finishing we're going to do, the land and all is going to cost about $160,000. And again, you may think, well, we say these figures, it's a man that you're going to build. But man, isn't that going to be lush? No, it's a building. But the thing I'm trying to point out is this, it's inflation. And I think it's causing this. Price is rising faster than the salaries. And quite frankly, we cannot do it by ourselves. There is no way that the group we have, and there's no way any group that's going to be starting can ever build a church building without someone else's help. So I say, we're going to enter a stage where there's going to have to be some changes made. I don't know, maybe we're going to have to go back to the home to have small cell groups meetings because the cost is going to be prohibitive. Maybe we're going to have to put up a bare closet, that type of thing, just a roof with chairs in it and not much heat and not much else. But the thing is that you say, well, that's not a church. Well, again, we're going to have to change people's thinking, because I really think that the idea and the way we've been working in the past few years is going to be a really out of reach of the ordinary congregation. And I think we're going to change the thinking. But our slogan is building together what we cannot build alone. And we mean that. There's absolutely no way that this small group could do it by themselves. We have help from the Northeast Conference, the General Conference, Alliance of the Church, and we're going to be asking others to help us in buying these bonds to build our building. Now let's take, you could find yourselves maybe in the same situation someday. Now perhaps because of the area you're located in, I don't know much about the local situation, but do you know this is a very commercialized area. It's not a residential area. And so perhaps someday you may want to move and relocate. And I'd say to set up a building, just a building alone would cost you $100,000. Could you do it? I don't think you. I was talking to a man the other day to start a new workout in the country. They have about a congregation from 100 to 150. And they want to build a building to accommodate their congregation. They look into it, and they give them costs, of a building to accommodate just that size group. Of course, they would be building it somewhat larger than that group is right now. So they're estimated between $200,000 and $300,000. So they either we're going to have to work together or change their methods one or the other, because we're entering an age where these things can no longer be done. So that's basically my message to you tonight, and that is the frame and the idea that we are very dependent upon one another. We cannot function alone. We need one another. We have to bear one another's burdens. And so we're coming to you, in a sense, to help you, to ask you to help bear part of this burden. And hopefully, one day, if need be, we can help you bear some burdens.